Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the New Nation Podcast. I believe this is episode 18. I want to thank you all for coming here. Before we start, buymeacoffee.com/thenewnation. You can contribute $5, $10, $25. Each coffee is $5, and it helps keep the show going, and it gives me a little bit of spending money in my pocket that will ultimately be spent on my children. And I don't know, maybe buying equipment for the show that I don't really even necessarily need because it's just me. And when I do have a guest, I have all that other equipment. But anyway, buymeacoffee.com/thenewnation. I wanted to talk about a couple of things that have recently been on my mind. Well, first, we'll give the little play-by-play of my son's baptism. Then we're going to talk about the Allie Beth Stuckey and Trent Horn debate about praying to Mary, and then the subsequent comments I received on the post itself when I clipped it and threw it on the New Nation Instagram. And then I wanted to talk, what else? What else did I want to talk about? Oh yeah, I wanted to talk about this bill on, was it H.R. 6090, the quote-unquote anti-Semitism bill that's being introduced, I guess it's going to the Senate next because it was passed by the House. But I did want to talk about that because I know there's been a lot of controversy surrounding that as well. A lot of people are saying that Christianity is going to be made illegal in the United States. Obviously not good. We do not like that. But and I know it's been a while since the last episode. And, you know, this is something that I would like to do more of it live. I would like to do more live streams, I suppose. Sneeze, bless me. But, you know, when I have these kind of thoughts in my head and things that I want to talk about, I'll just put a podcast episode out. It would be nice to do live streams with guests. It would be nice to do live streams in general. And even Instagram lives. I think I'll be able to do Instagram lives in 5 days, 5-6 days, because I was banned on doing it on Instagram for 30 days. So should be back next week. It's just that my schedule is kind of rough. I have Sundays off and I'll have like a random day of the week off because my new job requires at least one weekend day. So, which I love. I love my new job. And actually, nah, I don't want to talk about it because there's something that's bothering me. And Mike's supposed to have a call with one of my managers today about it. It's just kind of like these one things. If you work retail, especially if you work sales, and especially if you work, you know, salesman to customer direct sales, you know, in person, it's kind of an unspoken rule that when you see a salesperson speaking to a customer, potential customer, you don't bother that salesperson. If you're another salesperson, you leave that salesperson alone unless your opinion is required or your help is necessary. You let those two do their thing. And recently, it's just been a problem of my toes getting stepped on. And I think it's because the other person is a younger woman that I haven't been all that aggressive about it. But it's now happened kind of 5 times, and I don't know if it's happening on purpose, but yeah, we're going to talk about that, and it just boils my water. And, you know, if I were to tell you the situation, you might say, oh, you know, it's not that big of a deal, or oh, it's not money. It's still money. If you're trying to take money out of my pocket and food out of my kid's mouth, we're going to have a problem. But that's more of a personal matter, so I'm not going to get into that on the podcast. Just, you know, they're never going to listen to it. They don't know what it is. But I guess I'd rather not divulge too much personal information. I mean, not more than I should or not more than I have. But anyway, let's talk about my son's baptism. Glory be. Praise be to God. Deo gratias. That my son Luke was baptized into the Catholic Church 2 Saturdays ago. And I wanted to make an episode the following day. Just, you know, time got away from me. But it was a very nice baptism. He was actually baptized as a, I think on the dot as a 4-month-old. And our daughter was baptized closer to 2 years old because, you know, my wife and I's journeys back to Catholicism happened right around, I think by the time she was maybe 1.5 years old. So, you know, we'd made that decision, you know, pretty quickly after we reverted back to the church saying we are going to get our daughter baptized. And then we'd move parishes. So we were at a Novus Ordo parish, and now we're at a Latin Novus Ordo parish, which is the mother church of a TLM parish. And probably a lot of you guys are wondering, why don't you go to the TLM parish? I really do love the liturgy of the Latin Novus Ordo. I like the priest. Our church is full. There are a lot of young children, which is the same at the TLM. I go to a couple low masses every now and then at our TLM parish. But currently, there's been never-ending construction on the church, which suffered damage from the tornado that passed through Nashville in 2020. So right now, the TLM parish is, you know, doing their masses in a chapel. So it's kind of tight in there, and our church is very historical, as the oldest Catholic church in Nashville, and we like it there. And my in-laws, full sets of in-laws, and my nephews and nieces came into town because my wife's brother and his wife, her sister-in-law, and my brother and sister-in-law, they were my son's godparents. And it was nice because they live 10 minutes away from my in-laws, my mother and father-in-law. So, you know, that side of the family came out in force, and it was a nice little service. It started at 3:00. It was over by 3:30. It was a mixture of Latin and English. And it was nice. It was really nice. Our daughter kind of had a tough time at the beginning of it because she's a three-nager, which for those of you without kids, you'll hear a lot of people say, oh, the terrible twos is tough. No. The threes have been tougher in our experience, and I think I have a lot of friends who are going through this right now where the three-year-olds are, I don't want to label my daughter in any sort of negative fashion that will bring her sort of negative spiritual energy, but she is a handful, and around other people, I think she doesn't lack attention. She gets all the attention, but she needs and requires all this attention. If she doesn't get it, if she's not the center of it, she goes a little nuts. And, you know, she's a three-year-old, so I understand that. But the service was nice. We had a delicious lunch after the baptism, like an early dinner or lunch, from Shake Shack. So, yeah, it was delicious. And we had this awesome cake from Publix that we had after the dinner. And I got to tell you, right off the bat, the Shake Shack nuggets are probably the best chicken nuggets in the world of fast food. Better than Chick-fil-A, better than McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. The Shake Shack, it dunks on all of them. You don't even need a sauce. You don't need ketchup. You don't need honey mustard. You don't need any of that Chick-fil-A sauce. It's fantastic. Even, I got to say, I think right now, Shake Shack is probably my favorite fast food place. The quality, they do not cook their burgers in seed oils. Obviously the fries and stuff there, I think it's peanut oil or soybean oil. I can't remember what it is, but I believe they render the burgers in their own fat, which is kind of awesome and interesting, but no seed oils for Shake Shack. And yeah, it was just a great day. The following day, unfortunately, was a little weird because we went to mass at 9:00. And then our in-laws wanted to go to Broadway for whatever reason at like 10 in the morning with the kids. So it was, you know, the grandparents, my brother and sister-in-law and their three kids. And then we went back home, got dressed, went back to downtown because our church is in downtown Nashville. And I think we lasted 15 minutes there. I said, this is absolutely ridiculous. Why would anyone bring their kids there? Because even at 11:30 in the afternoon, downtown Nashville on Broadway is Sodom and Gomorrah. It's the worst. It's just all the bars are packed. There's, you know, a bunch of tourists there. And it's just, I don't like the atmosphere there. I don't like what's going on there. Not to sound like a prude, but I avoid it at all costs. The only time I'm ever down there is if there's a show, or I don't really go watch games. I've never been to a football game here or a hockey game here. I've gone to a couple shows for sure, but yeah, that would be the only reason I would need to go downtown. And I guess, you know, I wanted to spend time with the in-laws because they did take time to come down here. But that was probably a bad move to want to go downtown. I get it. You come to Nashville, you want to see Broadway, you want to experience that. 5 minutes, you're good. Take it all in, you're fine. Don't go there with kids. Yeah, and then move on from there. So yeah, baptism was great, and we had a great time, and I'm so happy now that my son in not in name only. Well, you can't be Catholic in name only. I guess you can be. You can be Catholic in name only and not, you know, partake in any of the sacraments or believe what the Catholic Church believes in, but he is 4 months old, so he really does not know much yet, but he will grow hopefully into a good Catholic. But my son is officially a member of the church, so we thank God for that. And also, you know, blessings to those with children who are entering the church very soon. We pray for your children, we pray for your family, and we welcome them into the church as well. Before we get into that Instagram post about Mary, let's talk about this bill, H.R. 6090, Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. Now, I guess it was introduced, I'm pretty sure that that's the bill that everybody's talking about right now. It's not a very long bill. It's like 2 pages. It was introduced in October 26th of last year. So this would have been not even 2 weeks after the attacks of October 7th in Israel. But it was introduced by I guess a congressman, Michael Lawler from District 17 of New York. So let's just read this because I want to get an understanding of it before I really even talk about it. So this is H.R. 6090, and it is an act to provide for the consideration of a definition of anti-Semitism set forth by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance for the enforcement of federal anti-discrimination laws concerning education programs or activities and for other purposes. Okay, so this is two things that jump out to me. Definition of anti-Semitism set forth by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. I don't even know who or what that is, so we're going to look that up real quick. We're doing it live. This is a international organization with 35 member countries and 8 observer countries. It was founded in 1998, and it unites governments and experts to strengthen, advance, and promote Holocaust education, research, etc. Okay, the short title, this act may be cited as the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2023. Sense of Congress, this is section 2. In the sense of Congress that Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, and programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. While such title does not cover discrimination based solely on religion, individuals who face discrimination based on actual or perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics do not lose protection under such title for also being members of a group that share a common religion. Discrimination against Jews, this is 3, section 2. Discrimination against Jews may give rise to a violation of such title when the discrimination is based on race, color, or national origin, which can include discrimination based on actual perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. 4, it is the policy of the United States to enforce such title against prohibited forms of discrimination rooted in anti-Semitism as vigorously as against all other forms of discrimination prohibited by... Okay, I'm reading this. I'm halfway to section 2. Halfway through section 2, and where's the defense? What is the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act? Where's the Anti-Christianity Awareness Act? Where was that? Because as I'm reading this, I'm saying, okay, Christians have been discriminated against, especially with the LGBTQ lobby. I mean, we know those famous cases of Colorado about the cake owners who cited their Christianity as a reason why they weren't going to sell gay cakes to a gay couple for a gay wedding. But discrimination against Jews may also give rise to a violation of such title when the discrimination is based on race. And then 4 is the policy of the United States to enforce such title against prohibited forms of discrimination rooted in anti-Semitism as vigorously as against all other forms of discrimination prohibited by such title. And I still haven't seen a definition of anti-Semitism. 5 is noted in the U.S. National Strategy to Counter Anti-Semitism issued by the White House on May 25th. It is critical to A, increase awareness and understanding of anti-Semitism, including its threat to America. B, improve safety and security for Jewish communities. C, reverse the normalization of anti-Semitism and counter anti-Semitic discrimination. And D, expand communication and collaboration between communities. I still don't see a definition of what anti-Semitism is. What is it? Because if it's this thing of saying Jews were complicit in the death of Christ, is that anti-Semitism? If I'm a Christian baker and Jews, for whatever reason, I mean, Orthodox Jews have their own communities. Orthodox Hasidic Jews, they have their own communities that they don't really go outside of for any needs regarding their religion. So, you know, an Orthodox Jew is not going to go to a Christian baker and ask for a cake for a wedding. Now, secular Jews, see, this is the thing. I think a lot of secular Jews who don't practice Judaism are going to use this thing as a crutch. So you're going to have two gay dudes from Manhattan who will go to a bakery, you know, and they'll say, hey, we'd like a cake for our wedding. And, you know, the baker's like, who's getting married? My husband and I, John and Ted. I'm like, well, we're Christians, so we're not going to do that. Oh, well, we're Jewish, so you're an anti-Semite, and we're going to use Title VI against you. Okay, where are you guys getting married? Oh, we're getting married on the beach. Okay, so are you not practicing Jews? You're not getting married in the temple? I assume two men can't get married in a temple. So I think this is going to be used with obviously the threat of violence, because who is at the end of any law? That is police and federal agents who are armed with weapons. Section 3 findings. Congress finds the following. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in the United States and is impacting Jewish students K-12 schools, colleges, and universities. Is it? I mean, is it quote-unquote on the rise, and is it impacting Jewish students? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't see it. I don't see this anti-Semitism on the rise. Like, this is such a boogeyman, and it's such a crutch for these people. Like, they are perpetual victims. They're like blacks in America. Civil Rights Act. Now there's this anti-Semitism Awareness Act. Like, they never want to rise above any sort of mistreatments that they've experienced historically. They just always want to be victims, and they always want to profit off of it in some way, shape, or form. Number 2 of Section 3, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, referred to in this act as the IHRA, working definition of anti-Semitism, is a vital tool which helps individuals understand and identify the various manifestations of anti-Semitism. Still don't know what anti-Semitism means. On December 11, 2019, Executive Order 13899 extended protections against discrimination under the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to individuals subjected to anti-Semitism on college and university campuses, and tasked federal agencies to consider IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing the Title VI of such act. This is something that, like, Honestly, Scott Adams was talking about this, and he was saying that if this is passed in the Senate, then every Republican who voted for it is an enemy to him and should be an enemy to everybody. We should fund the people who they're running against. They should never be able to hold office ever again. And I see this as something that I don't know if Trump is going to speak out against it or not. A lot of his big donors are Jewish. A lot of his influence does come from Israel. And I don't think Trump is a winning guy on this act. I mean, we'll see what he says about it. He's got his own problems right now. But I don't think he's going to have a problem with this. Since 2018, the Department of Education has used the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when investigating violations of that Title VI. Number 5, the use of alternative definitions of anti-Semitism impairs enforcement efforts by adding multiple standards and may fail to identify many of the modern manifestations of anti-Semitism. Number 6, the White House released the first ever United States national strategy to counter anti-Semitism on May 25, 2023, making clear that the fight against this hate is a national bipartisan priority that must be successfully conducted through a whole of government and society approach. So you hear that. The FBI will investigate Catholics, but the White House and, you know, the whole executive branch will release the United States national strategy to counter anti-Semitism. Has there been a national strategy to counter anti-Catholicism, anti-Christianity in the U.S.? No, there hasn't. There hasn't. I haven't seen it. Ah, definitions. Okay, for purposes of this act, the term definition of anti-Semitism means the definition of anti-Semitism adopted on May 26, 2016 by the IHRA, of which the United States is a member, which definition has been adopted by the Department of State, includes contemporary examples of anti-Semitism. There's still not, hold on, let me see if I can go into this International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance or whatever and see if I can find out what the definition of anti-Semitism is, because it's never listed in this act. IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. Let's see here. Okay. Let's see here. Read the full text of the... Oh, jeepers. Okay. Oh, okay. So, manifestation to guide IHRA in its work. The following examples may serve as illustrations. With humanity, blah, blah, blah. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their... How can you be anti-Semitic to non-Semitic peoples? That doesn't make any sort of sense. And there's a further argument here that Jews aren't even Semitic peoples. Toward Jewish communities, institutions, and religious facilities. Here are some contemporary examples of anti-Semitism in public life, the media, schools, the workplace, and in the religious sphere. Could, taking into account the overall context, include but are not limited to calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view of religion. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any Christian would call for the killing or harming of members of another religion, just because. I mean, we call them the synagogue of Satan, and we believe that Jews aren't saved because of their rejection of Christ, but I don't think that any, Christ-following Christian would want the death or harm to come to Jews. We wish for their conversion. That's the only thing that we call I should say that if we were to counter this, we call for aid and the justification of the conversion of Jews to Christianity. Making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective, such as, especially but not exclusively, the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Those are just statements. Those are just opinions of other people. And it's funny because you heard that, like, the definition of racism is just discrimination of someone based on a level of power. Like, that's how black people or brown people are POCs. I think we should get back to saying Negroes. Like, I like the word Negro because black, like, what does that mean? Black is like all encompassing. You know what I mean? It's like Asian. Is this person Indian? Is this person Japanese? Is this person Eurasian? What does that mean? So I think we should, I like Oriental. It covers the bases of the three, major countries in, the Oriental area of the world: China, Japan, Korea. You know what I mean? And then when you have like South Asian, you're talking about like India, Bangladesh, Suriname, I don't know, like places like that. But you always find out the racism, you can't be racist if you don't have power. Okay, so if Jews don't have power, right? If the conspiracy is that they do have power, but then, this IHRA is saying, well, no, Jews, that's a conspiracy. Jews don't hold this power. Okay, then there's no such thing as anti-Semitism, right? Because the allegation is that they had this power. But then you're saying they don't have this power. But now, however, there is a bill that has passed Congress that has now, launched all these government organizations into the pursuit of investigating people who are now making claims of Jewish power, calling that anti-Semitic, and then that could possibly have people being thrown in jail for that, which seems like some sort of power. So that's kind of funny. Oh, here we go. Accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews. Jews did play an important part, an integral part. They're pretty much responsible for the death of Christ. And I think this is what they're getting at, because remember, these are definitions in this act that are defined by the IHRA. So however they define anti-Semitism, that's what the act is being held to. That's the standard of anti-Semitism as far as definitions are concerned. So if I publicly make a statement, or I don't know, if you're teaching in some university class that Jews are responsible for killing Christ now, and then you get investigated under Title VI for anti-Semitic, education or rhetoric. But it's historically true. I got into a back and forth with Bryson Gray about this, where he was saying, a lot of people forget the Romans' responsibility in the death of Christ. And what I likened it to, I said the Romans were just basically playing the role of the executioner on death row. The executioner who drops the lever or inserts the poison into the arm of a prisoner. You know what I mean? So I would say that the Jews murdered Christ and the Romans killed Christ, right? Like the Romans carried out the execution, but without the Jews, there'd be no crucifixion of Christ, right? Even though Christ came down from heaven, he knew what his journey and he knew what his role was to fulfill on earth. So I think it would have happened anyway. But to say that the Jews weren't complicit in the death of Christ is absolutely asinine. And to say that saying such is anti-Semitic is just ridiculous on its face, because historically they did do it, right? They literally captured Christ. They beat him. They spit on him. They accused him of blasphemy. They brought him to Pontius Pilate, their governor. And Pontius Pilate was saying, hey, I really don't want to do this. I don't see this guy as being guilty of anything. This seems like your problem. Why don't you do it? And I guess, you know, Pontius Pilate was, you know, they were saying, listen, you know, he's being a troublemaker for us. You know, we don't like this guy, Jesus Christ. He claims to be God. You know, he's not the Messiah. Please, you know, take him off our hands. We're going to uprise. So Pontius Pilate was saying, like, these guys are being a pain in the ass. I don't want to deal with these people, but what do I do? Okay, let me give it to the people and see what they say. Hey guys, I got this murderer Barabbas here who I can release to you, or I have this man Jesus Christ who to me has committed no crime that I can see. Pick. And the crowd starts chanting for Barabbas. Pontius Pilate says, I wash my hands of this. Claudia, his wife, is like, hey dude, I think you might be doing the wrong thing. She is a saint, Claudia. And you know, there's even a Roman legionnaire who's at the foot of the cross, Saint Longinus, who took part in Christ's crucifixion. He is the soldier who stuck Christ in the side with a spear, and after the blood and water from Christ's body sprayed his eyes, he was cured of his blindness, and he's the one who said, surely this man is the Son of God. The Romans did have a role to play in the crucifixion of Christ, but it is not one of a murderer. I would really lay that responsibility of the Jews at the time. Now, Bryson was saying, like, okay, well, you use that context as the executioner, but if I paid someone to kill my wife, is the person who I paid to kill my wife a murderer too? And I said, that's a thing. I think that's a difficult one. I think the guy committed murder, but without you, he wouldn't have done it, right? So I would say that the person that you pay to kill your wife does just that. He kills your wife while you plotted and conspired to murder your wife. The same thing with soldiers. You know, we pay people to kill other combatants overseas and domestically. And the whole question is, are they committing murders or are they killing people in self-defense of their nation, sovereignty, whatever? And I mean, we can go deeper into that. But to say that Jews had no responsibility in killing Christ and that they didn't murder him is absolutely ridiculous. The next thing, denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, gas chambers, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during... Oh, okay, so denying the Holocaust is anti-Semitism. Denying the fact. See, this is the thing. I don't think that anybody denies the mass killing of Jews during World War II. The scope and mechanisms, yeah, I think that we can question it. I think we can either question it or deny it, whatever you want to do. It depends on the position that you want to have. Do you want to do research and say, you know, these numbers might be skewed? There were some prisons and camps that didn't have the mechanisms or the scope to carry out the killings, as a lot of people would like to believe. A lot of these people who were interviewed after the Holocaust were known to make up a lot of things because there was no fact-checking for these people's stories. They just wanted to get as many stories after the end of the Holocaust as possible in order to push a victim narrative. So just to completely deny the fact that it actually happened, being anti-Semitism itself, is again ridiculous, because I mean it's just an opinion that either you do the research or you don't, you find the truth or you don't, and if you want to flat out deny it, fine, that's your thing. I personally, me, Mike, I'm not going to deny that the Holocaust did happen. I'm just going to say, hey, I'm not sure about the numbers. I'm not sure about the number of crematoriums. I'm not sure the amount of people that one camp killed over the other. Also, I'm also not going to ignore the atrocities and other Holocausts that happened at around the same time that don't, you know, lift one group over the other. You know what I mean? The amount of Christians killed during World War II. Soldiers, civilians, it probably... is a lot higher than the Jews who were killed in the Holocaust. It just by numbers, it just has to be. But if we are there people out there who deny that and are called anti-Christians, or there's no word for anti-Christianity, I guess, accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Yeah, I'd accuse them of exaggeration. I don't see anything wrong with that. That's what they did. I mean, there was a lot of propaganda that was made at the time to exaggerate what was happening. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. How is that anti-Semitic? I don't understand that. As a Jew, wouldn't you be more loyal to Israel? Like, if you ask me, Mike, who are you more loyal to, the United States or to Catholicism? No hesitation, Catholicism. What, like, is any other person going to think I'm nuts? Mike is a very zealous Catholic, and guess what, guys? He's more loyal to Catholicism than he is to the United States of America. Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Catholicism also doesn't have a state. I mean, if you want to call, like, you know, if you want to call Rome, the papacy, a state, I guess you can do that, but it's just the Pope happens to reside in Rome. You know, there's nothing biblical or dogmatic that says that the papacy has to reside in Rome. If the papacy resided in, I don't know, El Salvador, would I be more loyal to El Salvador? Probably. I mean, yeah, probably. And I would also move to El Salvador, given Bukele and his leadership would probably think that this bill discussing anti-Semitism is ridiculous. Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, e.g. by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. I don't think it's a racist endeavor per se. I think it's a selfish endeavor for so many reasons, but one being that the state was just given to them. There's so many Jews living in Eastern Europe that just came to Israel and took over areas of the region that people have been living in for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And they're just like, oh, this is our place because Britain gave it to us. Oh, this was like our spoils of the Second World War and because of our Holocaust that we now have this state that we can just kick people out of because it's been given to us by another sovereign nation. Yeah. I mean, I don't deny anyone the right to self-determination, but as far as like just being given a state because I don't know the level of your victimhood status, that seems kind of weird. Applying double standards by requiring of it a behavior not expected to or demanded of any other democratic nation. Applying double standards by requiring of, I don't know what that means. Using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood law, the blood libel, here it is, to characterize Israel or Israelis. It's true. Sorry. Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. I mean. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of the state of Israel. But I mean, yes, that's who runs the state of Israel. Jews. Secular Jews do not run Israel. Christians do not run Israel. Arabs do not run Israel. Muslims do not run Israel. Jewish people run Israel. Yeah, sure, they might be like, oh yeah, well, you know, Arabs are able to hold positions of power in, you know, the Israeli state, or, you know, they're members of parliament. I don't know if Israel even has a parliament or whatever form of government that they have there. They're able to positions of power. Okay, sure, but they're a minority, and they ultimately don't run the country. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of Israel. Yes, duh. Holding Americans responsible for the actions of Americans. Yes. Well, I mean, now and then you have like Chinese influence and stuff like that. But anti-Semitic acts are criminal when they are so defined by law. For example, denial of the Holocaust or distribution of anti-Semitic materials in some countries. That's absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe in Germany and other similar places that you can go to jail for that. So anti-Semitic acts are criminal. Criminal acts are anti-Semitic when the targets of attacks, whether they are people or property, such as buildings, schools, places of worship, and cemeteries, are selected because they are or perceived to be Jewish or linked to Jews. So you have Planned Parenthoods now. And if you decide to deface them, protest outside of, or burn them down, that is a crime. And now the same thing happens to, I guess, synagogues or whatever like that, which, I mean, we shouldn't be defacing others' public or private property. No, I don't think that we should be doing that. And more so with the Planned Parenthood stuff. That's the, yeah, they shouldn't exist. They should all be rubble. But we shouldn't be burning each other's places of worship down. Like I said, we pray for the conversion of these people. We don't pray for their destruction. I'll put destruction in quotes. If destruction means conversion, then so be it. But let's go back to this bill. Section 5, Rule of Construction for Title 6 of the Civil Rights Act, and reviewing it, blah, 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 blah. It seems like, okay. Section 6, Other Rules of Construction. General Rule of Construction, nothing in this act shall be construed. 1, to expand the authority of the Secretary of Education. 2, to alter the standards pursuant to which the Department of Education makes determination that harassing conduct amounts to actionable discrimination. A test. That's basically it there. Let me see if I can get any sort of... Oh, actually, we can see who the votes on it. One roll call votes. I want to see the votes. I want to see who voted on this thing, because a lot of Republicans voted on it. Actions received in the Senate, motion to consider, rule provided, rule introduction to the House. Titles, amendments, co-sponsors. Let's see. There are, I'm looking, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41 Republican sponsors. That outnumbers the Democrat co-sponsors. That's insane. 41 out of the 61 co-sponsors are Republicans. They should immediately be voted out of office. Immediately. With prejudice. Fund their enemies, not enemies, but fund the people who they're running against. I don't know, what do you call those people? Fund the alternative candidate out of office absolutely immediately. That just boils my bubble. I just want to see what a news, CNN, Washington Post, NBC, New York Times. Let's read the New York Times. Bill to combat anti-Semitism on campuses. Continue with Google. Yes. Let me get one article. Continue without subscribing. Okay, here we go. This sucks. Okay. Let's see here. Let me read another. ABC News. Let's just get ABC News. I mean, it's all going to be skewed. House passes GOP anti-Semitism bill and amid college unrest. The House passed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act on Wednesday amid arrest among college campuses, and this was written on May 1st. The measure was led by Rep. Mike Lawler, Republican of New York, who should be unseated immediately, had 15 Democratic co-sponsors. Oh, so it was a Republican who introduced it. It requires the Department of Education to use the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing federal anti-discrimination laws. Several Democrats took issues with the Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism and some of the contemporary examples on anti-Semitism listed by the group. Democratic Rep. Jerry Nadler, who is Jewish, said he took issue with the bill because it would put the thumb on the scale in favor of one definition of anti-Semitism and could chill constitutionally protected free speech. So just one definition. Okay, so he doesn't want the one definition to have precedent over, I guess, the other definitions of anti-Semitism. The definition of anti-Semitism has been fraught, especially amid the ongoing protests at colleges and universities across the country in connection with the war in Gaza. Student protesters critical of the Israeli government's military actions in Gaza have continued to face accusations of anti-Semitism because speaking out against a war in a foreign country that is being continued by Israel, just commenting on it, is anti-Semitic. and the House votes came as those college protests raged on. Many pro-Palestinian protesters are calling for their colleagues to divest of funds from Israeli military operation. Some Jewish students have been long warned against conflating anti-Semitism with views critical of Israel's government. College protests have been largely peaceful, officials say. Yeah, okay. Last week, Speaker Mike Johnson visited Columbia University, where the protests initially began, and stepped up his criticism of the college protests. Columbia is out of control. During his visit, he joined some of his New York Republican colleagues in calling for Columbia University President Minoshe Shafik to resign and suggested that the National Guard be called to tamp down demonstrations. Johnson also called on President Joe Biden to speak more forcefully on the issue, blah, blah, blah. And it just shows, why does it show Hakeem Jeffries? It doesn't say what he did. It just shows a picture of Hakeem Jeffries. I just want to see, like, what... Washington Post opinion, Jerry Nadler. Oh, Jerry Nadler. I can't read this article either. There's an extension that I think you can put onto Chrome that allows you to read these protected New York Post or LA Times or Washington Post articles. Anyway, moving on. Anti-Semitism will always be a thing in the United States, unfortunately. Because every minority group in the United States is protected by the federal government for whatever reason. I don't know why. I'd like to say that the country was founded upon Christianity or Christian morals, but in actuality or, historically accurate terms, we was founded for moral people and religious people. Yeah, sure. But was it founded fundamentally on Christianity? No, probably not. Though the majority of Americans are Christian. We don't get protections. Sure, Mike, you get free speech protections. Oh, great. Free speech is gay. Because I can't go out in public and I can't be, vocal about the LGBTQ movement without getting canceled, without getting censored, right? I can't voice my dissatisfactions with new Planned Parenthoods opening up in my community and holding rosary or prayer services in front of them without being arrested, right? So this whole joke of, well, Christians are protected in the U.S. and you're just making big a deal of it, you're wrong, and it's laughable. Every minority group in the United States has its protections, except for us, except for Christians, and then even white Christians at large. So, they can shove free speech up their ass, okay? I don't care about free speech. The people who are complaining about this bill being a threat to free speech, it's not even about that. It's not even about that. It's just it's just being made up out of thin air because people are protesting Israel on campus now. That's what they need protection from. You gotta give me a break. You have to absolutely give me a break. I'm done talking about this. I don't want to talk about anti-Semitism ever again. Absolutely ridiculous. So let's talk about a recent clip that I posted onto the New Nation's Instagram about Ali Beth Stuckey debating, or not even debating, speaking with a sort of sheepish Trent Horn about praying to Mary. Now, if you watch this clip, you'll see a lot of the comments that were saying, I respect Trent Horn for, going on to Ali's show and not being very offensive. And I'm saying offensive as in leading an offense and being well measured and, not dunking on her own show. I'm sorry, but when you have the truth and you're confronted by someone who's lying directly to your face, I don't care whose show it's on. I want you to be like a lion with the truth. I don't want you to be like some little sheep who's like, you can believe that. And you're right. I guess, Mary, she did die and the saints are dead, but, they're spiritually, they're in heaven alive with Christ. No, you say you don't disrespect the Theotokos. Mary was assumed into heaven, body and soul, and she lives as its queen. And that's what you say. And that's why we venerate her. And that's why we honor her. That's it. That's all it is. So I posted this clip of Ali Beth Stuckey, who contradicted herself, where she said, Trent, gave this analogy. Said, "Well, would you be upset at a child who went to the headstones or gravestones of his mother and father and would say, Mom and Dad, please pray for me. I'm having a really tough time." And Ali Beth Stuckey said, "Oh no, we would have a definite because we don't pray to the dead. We know that they're spiritually alive, but we don't pray to dead people. So which is it? Are they spiritually alive in heaven or are they dead? We aren't our bodies. We are our souls. The body is just a vessel to navigate this world in. That's it. That's all it is. My soul lives on eternally. If Christ is my Savior, my soul never dies, right? So how can anyone be dead in heaven? We're not praying. The kid at the gravestone is not praying to the decomposing earthly bodies of his parents. He's praying to the souls of his parents who are in heaven and in direct communion with God. And it says in the same thing in Revelation, it says that the saints and the angels in heaven lift our prayers to God. You know, the incensing of the altars. That's why if you go to any TLM mass or if you go to Novus Ordo and some Latin Novus Ordo and some Novus Ordo masses, the priest will bless the altar with incense to carry our prayers up to heaven. It's the prayers of the church militant, right? To the church triumvirate who are up in heaven. So I posted that and, you know, the comments were, you know, full of kind of people having these fruitful discussions. But every now and then you get these random Protestants in there who just, you know, I don't know what Catholics did to them in person or, you know, online or whatever. But they just come really condescending, patronizing, just really mean. And it's my post, right? So I'm just saying, in the post, I just said that Ali Beth Stuckey contradicted herself. Here's what she said in her own words, and here's how Trent responded to her. And there's this one person in general who I want to go back to. I want to go back to his comments because they were really telling. And I'm going to read you the back and forth. Let me turn off the real quick. Well, I might have to just turn down the volume because I don't think that I can open it without. So there was one comment by one of our guys that says, these prots are wound so dying tight, it's got to be mentally painful. So this guy, who I put in my story today, you're able to see it, his name's Austin. He said, I'm certainly proud to be a prot. Said no one ever. Who else was going to translate the Bible into various languages and make the world literate? Takes a certain amount of gumption to go against a tyrant for that. And then Eric responded to him, and I just said, hey, Austin, who gave you the Bible, and then who removed seven books? And then he responded, the answer is good people. Then other people use it to mandate their power over them, so the good people left. Nothing a Catholic hates more than someone who won't bow down to them. So I said, we bow to Christ and his representatives on earth. If anyone bowed to me, that would be weird. And I said, you're projecting a lot of anger, my man. To which he said, the bishop will certainly break up with his new young boyfriend and get back with you. You might question who you're defending first. And then he quoted, quote, I'll validate you bowing down to God if you bow down to me first. And then he quoted Catholicism as saying that. So I said, who are you quoting? And then I responded again, you're embarrassing yourself, my guy. Quit while you're ahead. And then he says to me, I said, you know, about the representatives on earth. And then he says, this is this guy Austin saying this, I'm his representative on earth too. So are you going to bow to me? To which I said, you're an ordained priest or a successor of Peter? Because this is who we believe is a successor of Peter, right? Any pope who has ordained cardinals, bishops, and priests, they are in the succession line of St. Peter, who's the rock of the church and the first pope. So when we say representatives of Christ on earth, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about the Pope, we're talking about bishops, we're talking about cardinals, and we're talking about priests. Now, have a lot of these people done bad things? Yes, because they are men, and men sin. Newsflash, you might want to call up the New York Times, men sin. That still doesn't make them any less representative of Christ. And when I asked him that, you're an ordained successor, Peter, he said, yep, because I said so. Just like the Catholic Church said so. Just like the Jews that wanted to kill Christ said so. Just like the Egyptian Pharaoh said so. How do you guys not get this? Hierarchical religion and Christ's message are polar opposites. To which I said, my guy, no priest or bishop demands bowing. We do it out of respect. You must hate your bosses, your grandparents, and your parents. Yikes. And he says, I was taught by them to be the one to get in the way of insecure schmucks like you mandating your nonsense on people. Go ask your priest if you've been a good boy. Let's see. So I said, want to debate me about this live, or would you rather just fight? We'll see who's insecure. And he's like, dude, you have a kid. This carelessness is bad fatherhood. I get that attention is money and you want to get popular on the internet. I've already given you plenty of comments and I'm helping you with this one too. I'm not going to be a character in your broadcasted fight. That all being said, if you want to experience a physical fight, I'll certainly entertain you. To which I said, I have two kids, not just one. And it's my mission to spread the gospel and help people convert. I've done this. I am this. You're not going to get anywhere by insulting people and then acting like a sheep when confronted with that same energy. I said, you're a pussy. Christ wasn't nice. He was kind and just. So maybe next time you interact with people, you should do so in a liked manner. So I just asked him because I tagged him in a story and he responded to it, I guess. And I was just saying, dang, like who did this to you? What kind of Catholics, like, did any Catholics hurt you? And he acted like hostility, like, I'm not bringing hostility, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, dude, you come to my feed with hostility, condescension, and, you know, a patronizing tone. Like, and then when I call you out on it, you turn into a bitch. Okay? I didn't come to you. You came to my feed. You didn't have to comment on this. You could have seen the video and been like, huh, cool, whatever. And he's like, you come to Chicago. I'll be in Chicago. I'm like, I don't live in Chicago. I'm not going to come to Chicago to fight you. If you want to come to Nashville, let me know when you're here. And I really do think men should spar. You want to make a point and you want to challenge me to a fight to defend your point. I mean, if I believe in the point that I'm making, yeah. And if it's in defense of the Theotokos, if it's defense of Our Lady, if it's in defense of the Mother of God and the Queen of Heaven, yeah, I'll fight. So I'll take that challenge anytime, any day. Guys, have a blessed day. This has been Mike of the New Nation. God bless you. God bless your family. Deo gratias. Thanks be to God. And I hope everyone has a great and blessed day. Thank you.